some people have a wrong view. We'll look at some of these wrong views real quickly. Some people view baptism as a rite or even a means of salvation. The actual physical water baptism saves you. Okay? And so I want you to know that baptism does not save you. Sometimes I hear testimonies of people out there, they want to get baptized believing that that will save them. Or if you're a Catholic or Lutheran or other traditions, they might want to dunk you as babies, believe that it washes your sins away and somehow saves you. I want you to know that is not the case. You are only saved by Christ alone and trusting in Him by faith alone. And in one sense, identifying with His baptism, what we just talked about, Christ crucified, Christ was buried, and Christ rose again. So some cults and churches believe this concept. Here's your big word, baptismal regeneration. We don't believe that. We don't believe that baptism regenerates the soul and makes you alive. That's just not biblical. It's a lie. Okay? And I want you to know, like, I guess college students, as you guys head off to college, you're in college, there are literally churches. One, I'll just give it by name. There's a certain cult that's been around for at least 30, 40 years. Literally named the Church of Christ. It started in Boston. It's on the West Coast, on the East Coast, it's in the South. And they go around and say, you have to come to our church. You cannot be saved in other churches. You have to be baptized in our church to be saved. So if you hear that kind of language, you know, your antenna should go up. And so the key is know the truth and everything else is lies. It's like no, you know, real legit money in the $100 bill. If it doesn't look like that, then it's counterfeit. So it's important to nail this one down. Another picture, another point. Growing up in the South, I had to realize I was serving in the South, the East, the South, the East, the North part of it. I think there's another slide here. The fact that you grew up in the South and it makes you a cultural Christian and you live in the Bible Belt doesn't make you saved, right? You might have politically correct views or you grew up culturally and part of this cultural experience is to get baptized. And then, therefore, I'm saying, I want you to know that doesn't save you, all right? I'll never forget the Catholic tradition, the mindset was, okay, get dunked as a baby. You know, I don't even remember that. But when you are around junior high, they want to confirm you. To be honest, I did not want to be confirmed. But all my friends were doing it, so guess what? I did it too. The same thing happens in the Christian church sometimes. You grow up in the church, right? And it's like this junior high, high school age, and or whatever, and it's like, okay, it's my turn to get baptized. If you're doing it just because this is what you feel like you do, or you got this pressure from your pastor and parents, those are the wrong reasons. Unless your pastor and parents are encouraging you to obey the Lord Himself, and you want to respond and obey the Lord in this way of getting baptized, that's good. But if you're just like, okay, my dad's been on my case for 5 years, I guess I'll do it, right? That's not the way to do it. Well, I live in the South, and this is what we do. So I want you to know that's the same reason. I need to put that out there, because I'm pastoring in the South now, so I need to think about these things. And then lastly, when I was a youth pastor back in the late 90s, I'll never forget this. His mom came up to me and said, hey, Gary, you know, my son just got accepted to Berkeley, and I'm scared that he will lose his faith, because, you know, crazy liberals there, and, you know, Berkeley is berserkly, all right? So, can you please baptize my son, and he'll be protected by this water that was once on him as he goes off to Berkeley? I'm like, I'm so sorry. You know, I know, I've known your son for 2 or 3 years since I've been here, and I don't know if he's spiritually alive. He's more concerned about his video games and his grades all the time. If you ask me what he truly loves, I would say it's video games and whether he gets into Berkeley or not. He really talked about Jesus. He doesn't care about much. He doesn't sing. Doesn't read the Bible. I don't know. I just can't tell he's a Christian. So I just can't baptize him. He doesn't even want to confess Christ and fake it to me. That's just not another good reason. You know, parental pressure, asking pastor to baptize my kid, some kind of protection, it's not going to work. All right? So, I'll throw this footnote. I love Berkeley. I think it's an amazing mission field with people with all kinds of views. Very pluralistic. So, if you're ready to travel to the East Coast as a missionary, baptism has two meanings in the New Testament. Literally means to dip or to immerse. It comes from the Greek word baptizo. Or the word baptism can be understood in terms of the symbolic meaning, which you see on the screen, which means to identify with. All right? So, from this verse that we just read earlier, we're going to look at three aspects or three ways in which we are identifying with Christ or with the gospel. The first one is this burial. Okay? One says that you are buried with Christ. In Galatians chapter 2, verse 20 says, I have been crucified in Christ, and it is no longer I who live, but my faith. So, I want you to know that when you place your faith in Jesus Christ, you want that you died with him. Your old nature, theologically, I believe your old nature is gone. It's eradicated. Because why? The Bible says you have been given a new nature, a spirit nature, and he's made you what? A new creation. Now, I'm not saying there's not a struggle between our flesh and the Spirit of God, but I believe the old nature, given baptism, has been crucified and buried and is dead. Number two, the resurrection. We see in the middle part of Colossians chapter 2, verse 12, which you're also raised through him in faith. So we understand that Jesus was a real man. He walked on the face of this earth. People literally witnessed him and they saw him die. They even poked him to make sure he was dead. They buried him. And then 3 days later, he rose again. He first appeared to 12 people and then 50 people. And then by that historical count, we can make our faith on others saw him rose again. We can also believe on the same basis and token that God raised him from the dead. I don't know if this is helpful, but like, I mean, how many of you guys have ever seen like a living? We haven't. But know others who saw him and they wrote books and they wrote more books and they updated your textbooks and we know he was a president. The same way we believe that Abe Lincoln was a historical person, also a president of the United States. Those are our bases in which we also, the same mindset, we trust that Jesus Christ died, was buried, and rose again. In this case, we're talking about his resurrection. I don't like the resurrection to be boring to you. This is rise from the dead, right? One day God will call those who are him to rise again one day and join him. And for that we have an incredible hope that I'll see my grandma, maybe some other relatives and friends. But there are some people I won't see. Okay? I'll share a very personal story. When I was in elementary school, my mom got cancer. You guys know this. She did survive. She died. Later on, when I'm in my teenage years, I'm struggling, I'm upset, I feel neglected. A lot of times I was wearing pants that were like this. They didn't fit me because my dad didn't care about, dressing me properly. And I was just mad and angry. My dad didn't let me drive until I was like 18. And because he says we just need to save money, and even if I worked, he wasn't going to let me drive. I was just a frustrated little kid. So I went to the graveside of my mom. Top of her gravesite, and I was mad, and wanted my mom to come back, and like twisted my, I stomped on my mom on top of the grave, like, get up, get out of the grave, why'd you have to die on me? I was mad, but as much as I would stomp on the grave, that make her come back up? No. I was so angry, man, I started taking the flowers and pulling them out of the little cup. So I was just an angry, upset kid. And I just thought, Mom would get out of the grave and help me with life. Things would be better. So, the next point is this reality, and I alluded to it, is gospel power. We see the last part, verse 12. Paul refers to this powerful working of God who raised Christ from the dead. When Jesus rose from the dead, he conquered sin, and he conquered death. trust in Jesus Christ from the dead one day. That's resurrection power. One day we'll be in glory. We'll have an amazing worship service with Jesus one day. Okay, that's resurrection power. The same resurrection power that rose Jesus from the dead is the same resurrection power when you read in Acts chapter 2 resides in you. It's called the Holy Spirit. This Holy Spirit wants to work in your life to such a degree that your life is changed. Your life is transformed and made into the image of God. And one day God will take you home. And this will be perfected one day. So, we'll close with this verse of identification in Romans chapter 6, verse 3 through 6. It says, do you not know that all of you have been baptized into Christ Jesus? Were baptized into his death? We were buried, therefore, with him by baptism into death, in order that, just as Christ is raised from the dead by the glory of the Father, we too might walk in newness of life. For if we have been united with him in a death like this, we shall surely be united with him in his resurrection like his. For that, you and I have eternal hope. For that, we can be extremely thankful. And then lastly, what verse says, the Spirit of God identified us with Christ, and we were buried with him, raised with him, and made alive with him. And the Greek word, these verbs are fantastic, are very expressive. We are co-buried, co-raised, and co-made alive because God raised his Son from the dead. God raised his Son from the dead, and we have eternal life. I don't know how we should respond to that, but maybe I do in two ways. You don't know Christ? Call upon him in his name and you'll be saved. For those of you who know Jesus, my encouragement for all of us is to live with the power of his resurrection in his suffering. And we can do this with great joy and excitement because of what Christ has done for us. Let's pray. Father, we thank you so much.